Hello, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. And we'll start with the commercial news. Our first story from the front page today is entitled, County Sees Ninth Death from COVID. And this story is by Jennifer Bailey. Another increased number of new COVID-19 cases on Monday also brought with it the county's ninth death. The Vermilion County Health Department on Monday reported 48 new cases, 3 residents in their 80s, 4 in their 70s, 8 in their 60s, 7 in their 50s, 8 in their 40s, 4 in their 30s, 5 in their 20s, 7 teens, 1 grade school age child, and 1 toddler, bringing the county to a total of 1,314 positive cases, 222 of which are active. Some of the new cases are family related to new or to previously reported positive cases. The county's ninth death, a woman in her 70s who had been hospitalized, is the county's fourth death in the last 2 weeks, and the first female death reported to COVID, or related to COVID, since the pandemic started. Our thoughts and prayers go to her family and friends, stated health department officials. There are currently 8 COVID-positive Vermilion County residents hospitalized. The county also had 33,834 negative tests. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Monday reported 3,113 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, including 22 additional deaths. The 7-day statewide positivity rate from October 12th through the 18th was 5.4%. As of Sunday night, 2,096 people in Illinois were in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 485 patients were in the intensive care unit, and 179 patients with COVID-19 were on ventilators. The recent spike in COVID-19 cases in Vermilion County has had school and other officials continue to alter public gathering plans. At last week's online Danville City Council's Public Works Committee meeting, Chairman and Alderman Mike Pure said, "As we see a rise in cases, please be safe. Encourage others around you to be safe. Stay healthy." The Danville Public Library also temporarily canceled all in-person programming due to the rise in COVID-19 cases in Vermilion County. One day last week, the Vermilion County Health Department reported 59 new cases, with 79 one day earlier in October, with ages ranging from their 90s to a toddler. The county last week saw its 8th COVID-related death, a man in his 70s. This had been the county's 3rd death in just a little over a week. Health department officials advise, eat healthy, exercise, hydrate, get enough rest, wash your hands, get a checkup, continue to wear your mask, and social distance. 2 ways to support our local service providers, schools, and small businesses would be to stay home when you are sick and to avoid gatherings where social distancing will be difficult, state health department officials said. This week, the state's mobile COVID testing team is back at the health department for a week of public testing. Hours are from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. through October 25th. No appointment is necessary and no cost at the health department at 200 South College Street in Danville. 2 Danville schools already had been closed due to COVID-19 cases. Garfield Elementary and Southwest Elementary schools through October 27th, but now all Danville District 118 schools are closed and moved to remote learning from October 19th through November 4th. Due to the increased number of local COVID-19 cases in the district and surrounding areas. The well-being of our school community will always be our number one priority, according to a letter from Danville District 118 Superintendent Alicia Geddes. Geddes won't talk about specific school numbers of staff and student COVID-19 cases, which impacted the decision to have all schools go to remote learning these next 2 weeks. However, Geddes said, seeing the spike in numbers and seeing that some are teens and younger, the public can realize some are District 118 students. Our numbers are what they are, she said. Geddes said some employees remain in the school building, such as food service, the technology department, and maintenance staff. Additional cleaning is occurring. She said school phones are still being answered with staff working from home. Geddes said they will continue to monitor local COVID-19 numbers during the next 2 weeks to determine proceeding again with in-person classes. She said while there have been hiccups with remote learning, she commends teachers for doing a wonderful job and thanks parents for their cooperation and understanding. Our next story is entitled, Council to Consider Sanitary Sewer Lines Transfer. And this story is also by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. One alderman said he's uncomfortable with the city taking over sanitary sewer lines from the Danville Sanitary District without any further compensation. The Danville City Council tonight will consider approving an intergovernmental agreement with the Sanitary District for providing transfer of the district's assets to the city. The Council's Public Works Committee last week voted 5-1 on the transfer, with Alderman Mike O'Kane voting against it. The Council will meet at 6 p.m. via teleconference with a link on the city's website at www.cityofdanville.org. Public comments are due to the city clerk at cityclerk@cityofdanville.org by 4:30 p.m. today. Danville Public Works Director Carl Carpenter said, "We will be taking over all the lines they own inside the city limits." "We're inheriting stuff that is 100 years old," O'Kane said. "What income are we getting from this, and what's going to offset this?" Carpenter said the sanitary district owns the collection system, including in Vermilion Heights and majority of the city's south side. "We are still collecting the fees from that," he said. Carpenter said the two options are to accept the transfer or have the sanitary district continue to own the lines and give revenue to them instead. He also responded that those lines likely will need to be replaced in 10 to 20 years. In response to a question from O'Kane, however, he said the annual $400,000 will maintain the lines. "I almost feel they should pay us a little bit for taking it off their hands," O'Kane said. City engineer Sam Cole said in consideration of the transfer, "The sanitary district and city are two government entities serving the same people. These assets are dealt with and funded by the same people, whether owned by the district or city," he said. Cole said the best way to serve the public is aligning all collection system assets with the city and having the sanitary district manage the interceptor sewers and treatment. He added, "This is about best serving people in the long run. We've been receiving this $400,000 for years," said Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. He said former city employees Doug Ahrens and David Schnell, now with the sanitary district, would tell the alderman the city has been receiving millions of dollars for decades. The council also will consider tonight approving the purchase and installation of a reconditioned transit engine for $56,366 from Cummins Crosspoint of Normal, Illinois, for a city bus. In Danville Mass Transit news, the downtown transfer center is open now due to the colder weather. Buses are being treated by Newton's every other week. A decision also will need to be made about collecting fares again. Coronavirus funds currently offset no fares being collected. In other business, the City Council will consider the following: approving a downtown tax increment financing district redevelopment incentive program grant application for 119 to 123 North Vermilion Street. The $50,000 grant would go to Danville Renaissance Enterprises, with investors Gordon Thens, Peter Blackman, Jack Walsh, Joe Semersheim, and Rob Black, for roof and rehab work of facade repair, doors, painting, and also patio work for 123 North Vermilion Street tenant Alpha Omega Consulting Services. Investment is estimated at almost $210,000. City officials said $8,000 to $10,000 already was given to the group for demolition of part of the building due to it collapsing. The building has three addresses, with it being off the mid-block alley and the 100 block of North Vermilion Street. Also, extending the city's franchise agreement with Comcast due to further negotiations. And approving a $24,812 contract with Springfield Electric for outdoor lighting equipment for the Ellsworth Park redevelopment project. Also authorizing purchase of property from the Vermilion County Trustee. Purchasing a 2019 dump truck for $113,282 from Ron Equipment. A special use and rezoning request at 701 and 703 East William Street, a vacant building at the northeast intersection of Anderson and East William Street, from I-1 Light Industrial to B-1 Neighborhood Business Zoning for a neighborhood convenience store. And authorizing agreement for provision of electricity for city-owned buildings, facilities, and streetlights, and amending terms of electric franchise agreements with Ameren, Illinois. In our last front page story this morning is entitled Relentless Worship. Danville native uses song for inspiration. And this story is by Marvin Holman. Minneapolis. Never let circumstance outrun worship. That is what Danville native Nekosha Wynn wants people to know after listening to her single Relentless Worship, and also the circumstance that provided the inspiration for the song. Wynn was born in Danville, but grew up in Milwaukee, with her grandmother, Annie Mae Rivers Ford, still in Danville. She made frequent trips in the summer growing up. "My whole family is full of musicians, singers, educators, and preachers," Wynn said. "My grandmother was an educator, minister, and singer. My mother was choir director and singer. My grandfather was a quartet singer. So rightfully so, I would sing in choirs and on worship teams as well. I became saved at the age of 10, and I have been going to church and in choirs all of my life. But it wasn't until 5 years ago when I realized I could really pursue gospel music. I have my family to thank for the foundation of my spiritual journey, but my mentor, the late Reverend Arthur Foy III, was the person who cultivated the gifts that God has given me, and I am grateful for his mentorship." The catalyst for her career started with the birth of her youngest son 7 years ago. He was born 4 months early and weighed 1 pound, 14 ounces, about the size of a half a sheet of paper. He was in the neonatal intensive care unit at the University of Minnesota Masonic Children's Hospital for more than 100 days. He was on a ventilator 8 weeks, had heart surgery, infections, and was diagnosed with a lung disease called bronchopulmonary dysplasia. "The whole experience catapulted me to writing, because I wouldn't wish that experience on my worst enemy," Wynn said. "That was a scary experience because he was touch and go for 8 of those 12 weeks. As a Christian, your faith gets really tested, and you have to lean on your faith in times like that because you feel completely helpless. It wasn't until 2 years later, when my son came out of the clear, that I reflected on the whole situation, and I realized that God is amazing and He carried us through that whole time. After years of writing, Wynn's words finally were put into song with the help of her current music director, Sean Smitty Smith, and finally released Relentless Worship last year. It was a great success, and we are in the process of writing three more songs. She is planning to release a new EP in December of 2020 or January of 2021. This is just the beginning to everything. With everything going on, I think people need to hear more positive messages, and Christians need to get reminded of who they are in times of trouble, Wynn said. Others need messages of encouragement, and that is what I am hoping to bring with my music. With her husband by her side, Wynn said her ministry and her family is stronger through all the trials. To do ministry, you have to have a strong partner, so he has been a super supporter. Even with the NICU experience, he was at home with our two children and at that time trying to make things normal, Wynn said. He really is my better half, a sweet and loving husband and father. Without him, this would not be possible. Wynn has also been very active in her church. Most recently and previously, she was a worship pastor for 5 years until January of 2020. She stepped down to pursue her music career, Wynn said. Wynn is not only a worship leader, recording artist, but she is also an entrepreneur. She is the founder of the Twin Cities Night of Relentless Worship in November 2019. The purpose behind this worship experience is to provide a safe space for all, including the lost and hurting, to worship freely, bring communities of faith together, and bring awareness to homelessness in our communities. We had about 300 people that came out for that event. Wynn is also the founder of Relentless Academy, which is a nonprofit for youth, arts, and education whose mission is to prepare youth for academic success and provide resources to build generational wealth for the future. She is also the founder for Relentless Movement, an organization that provides worship and leadership consulting to churches or organizations across the Twin Cities and beyond. As COVID-19 has slowed most events and things down, I am currently taking time to focus on family, counting my blessings, and hoping that everyone stays healthy, Wynn said. I am ready to ramp things up for 2021 and to push my music career. Wynn went from Milwaukee to Minnesota to attend a University of Minnesota Duluth and the College of St. Scholastica. She is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Nicosia Wynn's music is available on all digital platforms, or you can visit her site for more information. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, October 20th. And our first today is for Jack W. Toms, Jr. Jack W. Toms, Jr., 77, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, October 17th, 2020. A celebration of Jack's life will take place at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with Reverend Philip Callahan officiating. Burial will be at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville, and visitation will be held prior to the service from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the funeral home. It is kindly requested that those in attendance of the service and or visitation wear a mask and practice social distancing. Memorial donations may be placed in Jack's name to Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Danville or to the American Heart Association. Mary E. Peters. Mary E. Peters, 96, of Hupston, passed away at 10:30 p.m. on Thursday, October 15th, 2020, at Heritage Health in Hupston. According to Mary's wishes, cremation rites will be accorded and there are not any services scheduled at this time. Memorials may be made to the Rossville Little League or Bismarck Girls Athletic Program. The family has entrusted Blurton Funeral Home in Hubston to assist them in honoring Mary's life. Mary Lou Byage. Mary Lou Byage, 92, of Westville, Illinois, passed away at 2:12 p.m. on Saturday, October 17th, at her home. Funeral services will be at 12 noon on Saturday, October 24th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin, Illinois, with Father Timothy Saup officiating. Burial will be in Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Visitation is from 10 a.m. until 12 noon at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, face masks will be required for entry to the visitation and funeral. Memorials to the St. Mary's Catholic Church or the Cara Animal Shelter. Amelia Van Pelt. Amelia Alvina Van Pelt, 93, went to be with her Lord and Savior on Friday, October 16, 2020. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Chris Quick. Burial will be in West Lebanon Cemetery. And visitation will be held just prior to the service from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Adrian Boyd Lewis. Adrian Boyd, or A.B. Lewis, passed away on October 13th, 2020. A private family service will be held on Monday, October 19th. Burial is to follow at Spring Hill Cemetery. There will be a celebration of life at a later date. Memorials may be made to the charity of the donor's choice. Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling service details. Laura May Roth. Laura May Roth, 94, of Danville, passed away at 9:23 a.m. on Sunday, October 18, 2020, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home. Visitation will be from 11 to 12 p.m. I believe it's 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2020, at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. IDPH guidelines regarding mandatory masks and social distancing will be strictly followed. Mass will follow at 12:30 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church at 444 East Main Street, with Father Stephen Loftus officiating. Laura will then be laid to rest next to her husband at Resurrection Cemetery. In lieu of donations, memorial donations in Laura's name may be made to Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. And that takes us to the end of the obituaries for Tuesday. We're going to turn back to some more local news from the Danville Commercial News. Our next story is entitled, Police Investigating Three Gun Incidents Sunday. And this is a staff report. Danville. It was a violent Sunday in Danville with officers responding to gunshot wounds, an armed robbery, and an aggravated discharge of a firearm. All separate incidents. The following information was released by Commander Joshua Webb of the Danville Police Department. Shooting investigation. At 1:36 a.m. Sunday, Danville police responded to the 900 block of Chandler in reference to two victims with gunshot wounds. Upon arrival, officers located a 22-year-old Danville man with a gunshot wound to his back and an 18-year-old Danville man with a gunshot wound to his leg. The victim stated they were walking inside the residence when someone started shooting at them from the outside, and both victims were struck by the gunfire. Both victims were transported to an area hospital for treatment of their wounds. No other injuries were reported, and no suspect information is currently available. Armed robbery. At 2:17 p.m. on Sunday, Danville police responded to the Quick Stop tobacco shop in the 1400 block of East Main Street in reference to an armed robbery of the business. Upon arrival, officers spoke with an employee who stated a man entered the business armed with a handgun and demanded money from the register. The suspect then left the business and fled the area with an undisclosed amount of cash. The suspect was described as a black male, approximately 5'7" tall, and last seen wearing a white hooded sweatshirt and blue jogging pants with red and white stripes. No injuries were reported during this incident. Aggravated discharge of a firearm. At 3:10 p.m. Sunday, Danville police responded to a residence in the 600 block of Harmon in reference to a man with a gun. Upon arrival, officers spoke to several victims who stated they were inside the residence when the homeowner got angry with them and an argument took place. During the dispute, the homeowner threatened the victims with a handgun and then fired a shot inside the residence. The victims were able to flee the residence and call police. Danville police set up a perimeter around the residence and eventually made contact with the homeowner, who came outside and surrendered without further incident. The homeowner was identified as 66-year-old Clarence Hardiman of Danville. Officers recovered three handguns from the residence, including one that had been reported stolen. Hardiman was transported to the Danville Public Safety Building, where he is awaiting arraignment on charges of aggravated discharge of a firearm, possession of stolen firearms, and unlawful possession of a weapon by a convicted felon. No injuries were reported during this incident. The investigation into these incidents continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Anyone who has information regarding the incidents is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or the Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. And finally, in the community briefs for today, we have the following. Danville. Kennecuck hosts guided hike. Pioneer and Native American life will be the topic of conversation at 1:30 p.m., October 25th, at Forest Glen Preserve. Come out and walk the one-mile Willow Creek Trail with VCCD educator Susan Biggs Warner as your guide to learn about and discover the plants and animals that were important to the people that inhabited this area long before us. Please pre-register at their website. Pre-registration and fee of $5 per person is required for each hike, which is limited to only 15 people. Hikes are open to all ages, but children younger than 18 need to be accompanied by an adult. Properly worn face masks will be required. For questions, call 217-442-1691. And Sink a Putt for United Way. Bowman Estates is set to host Park and Putt Thursday, October 28th at 1968 North Bowman. The event, scheduled for 11 to 5:30 p.m., will benefit the United Way of Danville. Participants will park in the south side lot, pick a hole to play, and sink a putt to determine the amount Bowman Estates will donate. Help us maintain a safe and socially distanced event. Contact Melissa at 217-431-4200 to plan your tee time by October 23rd. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, October 20th. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you as always, and I hope you have a great day. Stay safe and take care.